Do you ever wonder, you ever kind of stop and wonder, why did I just do that? And if you say that, do you take it to the next level and say, why do I keep doing that? Why do I do this over and over again? It's not getting me what I want, or it's getting me what I want right now, but I am winning the battle, but absolutely losing the war. I think that that's what I'm trying to get my brain around, is why we're doing that. When I was 22 years old, it was pretty clear that I wanted to dress flashy and appear to be really successful so I could be more attractive, so I thought. So that was pretty obvious. And then you're 32 and your perspective on that changes a little bit. And then you're 42 and your perspective, doesn't it change? It doesn't change? Or does it change? Has your perspective changed on this kind of a thing? The question is this. The question is this. Why do we prioritize appearing to be wealthy versus actually being wealthy? And maybe it's such an obvious question because being wealthy is really hard. Being financially secure is really hard. Being financially successful is really hard. Being in shape is really hard. Eating healthy is really hard. So maybe I've just answered my own question. Why do we struggle with this? Why do we constantly engage in short-term thinking, surface-level thinking, feeling, and behaving? Maybe I'm just really overthinking this. What do you think? Is it just that basic? Is it, well, yeah, I could do those things, or I could just, you know, do this and feel like I'm successful, like I'm wealthy, and not just that, but present myself in a way that other people perceive or think and feel that I'm successful and wealthy. Maybe I'm just getting a little bit burned out. But we need to stop caring about what other people think of us. Crazy? Sounds easy, does hard. Yes, certainly true. I am interested in why we are behaving the way that we're behaving. I'm interested in human motivation. And that's what I want to talk or explore a little bit today, because there's a lot going on. We have internal desires that we want to meet, and then there's just external pressures that are coming at us. And those are shaped by our culture, our social conditioning, our evolutionary instincts. So there's psychological and sociological frameworks that can help us to better understand why it is that we're prioritizing appearance over substance. And then particularly in the context of our conversation today, when it comes to wealth and money. So social comparison theory tells us that we have a strong drive to be seen as successful. We have this inherent tendency to compare ourselves to others, and there's evolutionary reasons for this, because if we're seen as successful, it could get us more access to resources, mates, social status. So those are good things. So I want to present myself in a certain light. Modern times, that the social landscape has shifted, but the drive to project wealth, to project status and success, they're inextricably linked. So that certainly makes sense. We are trying to signal our value to the other humans. We buy into status symbols, expensive cars, designer clothes, watches, handbags, Stanley Cups. We believe that having these signals convey power, success, or that I'm doing awesome, that my lifestyle is really great. So the perception of wealth can feel more powerful, and it's certainly a lot more accessible. It's easier to get that than it is to kind of put the work in Social media, consumerism, consumer culture. This is a big thing. I mean, we can curate our lives. And this is something that you already know. We kind of talk ad nauseum about this, but we're always putting our best foot forward out there on social media. So people are getting a skewed perspective of what life actually looks like. And instead of making the decisions on what we want our lives to look like, we kind of mimic. This is what that person is doing, so I'm going to follow suit. I want the same thing that they want. There's FOMO. There's FOMO. We're always comparing ourselves, so that leads to anxiety that I'm not measuring up at all. So that causes me to prioritize the outward appearance because I don't want to feel left behind. So it can lead to my allocating my financial resources in a way that it's going to be more short term than it is long term. I want to appear to be affluent versus I have a need to be financially stable. So I'm actually choosing to look a certain way than to be financially stable. And that's pretty wild. Because obviously, when we don't have financial stability, that's going to really mess with us. It's going to cause anxiety and stress and da, 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 da. Wild how powerful this pull is. Self-esteem, one of my faves. We try to build our self-worth the wrong way. It's got this such weak scaffolding around us with just crap that we have consumed versus actually making ourselves and becoming healthy financially, just healthy, healthy in every aspect of our lives. Physically healthy, mentally healthy, emotionally healthy, relationally healthy, and financially healthy. If you feel insecure about what your current self-image is, or your social, what you perceive your social position is, you're going to resort to appearing wealthy. You're going to put your resources to whatever it takes for you to feel and appear to be wealthy versus, I don't care what other people think of me. I am going to pursue actually becoming healthy and successful, and in this context, actually wealthy. So we need to stop caring what other people think of us. We need to stop looking for our validation from anyone other than you. Stop trying to get validation from anybody other than yourself. Materialism, fulfillment. I was writing about fulfillment like a good at least 10 years ago. And it's probably the same today. You throw fulfillment into Google and you're just going to get constant stuff about Amazon because they have been and they're now the leader in fulfillment, which is just delicious and perfect and so apropos because they figured out how I can hit one button on my phone and then the thing that I bought shows up at my house, which is fulfillment. It will certainly not lead to fulfillment. In fact, quite the opposite. But that's what's going to come up if you search for it. I mean, so many of us are walking around with this missing piece inside of ourselves. It's like that beautiful Shel Silverstein poem, The Missing Piece. If you've not read that, please check that. It's one of my favorites. And it's just a perfect microcosm for this whole thing. I'm looking for validation. I'm looking for fulfillment from things outside of myself. And it's never going to happen. That's an inside job. If you don't know that, maybe one day you'll figure that out. But in the meantime, you should just take my word for it. Stop focusing on what anybody else thinks of you. Unless they're paying your bills, unless they're funding your 401k, unless they're doing the things that are going to lead you to becoming a healthy person, which they're not. Stop paying attention. Focus on you. Do the work. Gratification. Delayed versus instant. Well, that's obvious. Can tell you if you're going to be financially successful or not. Right now, can you save money? If you can, you've got a chance. If you can't, you got no chance, buddy. None. If you cannot save money, if you are unable to delay gratification, you are going to have a really hard time ever becoming financially secure. And then you will never have a chance to become financially successful. So that is the truth. Certainly, maybe you don't understand how money works. My heart goes out to you. Let's get you some help. I wonder if there was any way that you could learn about financial literacy. Oh, it's everywhere. We are awash in financial literacy. There is no excuse for you not understanding how your 401k works. There is no excuse for you not understanding the difference between a Roth IRA and a traditional IRA. There's no reason. There's no reason that you don't understand term insurance. There's no reason that you don't understand, who needs a will. Go to YouTube right now and just type that in. What's the difference between a Roth IRA and a traditional IRA? You're going to get 1,000 wonderful videos. Go to investopedia.com. Whatever query you have about money or finance or whatever, it's going to be on that site and it'll be really well done. There's just no reason. So let's cross that one off. Status as a tool for social capital. Well, this is a real thing. When people perceive that you are a wealthy person, it can open doors to opportunities, whether in business or social circles, romantic partnerships. Social currency is a real thing. There's no doubt about it. And I appreciate the idea of faking it till you make it. So the danger of that is simply lying to yourself and thinking that you are actually making it when in fact you are just faking it. So I don't mind. I don't, if, and that's how you present yourself to the world really matters, for sure. How you conduct yourself really matters. The impact you have on other people and how you treat them, how you carry yourself really matters. So I'm not saying don't do that. I'm not saying don't put your best foot forward. I'm not saying don't have nice clothes. I'm not saying don't polish your shoes. I'm not saying any of these things. What I am saying is do not do one and sacrifice the other one. Do not do one in place of the other. Do not appear to be wealthy. Do not work to appear to be wealthy in place of actually doing what it takes to become wealthy. So we human beings are communal, community-driven beings. For sure, when an individual is working to fit into a larger group, being wealthy and giving wealth signals, it shows that, or at least we feel like you are a successful person because I don't have access to your bank accounts. I don't have access to your financial statements to know. But I certainly appreciate that there is certainly a lot of group dynamics at work. And then there's cognitive dissonance and rationalizations because I can talk myself into anything. I'm awesome at it, as I'm sure that you are as well. I can talk myself into why it is that I ate the way that I ate yesterday, last week. I could talk myself into that I'm going to start my diet tomorrow or I'm going to start budgeting next week, whatever it might be. But it doesn't make it, certainly doesn't make it true. And I know in my heart of hearts that me BSing myself is not getting me closer to what I want. In fact, it's doing the opposite. It is taking me farther away from what I want. So many different ways, or so many different reasons, and so many different motivators that we human beings have. We're complex. Our motivations are rarely just one thing. Our desire to appear to be wealthy at the expense of actually becoming wealthy can be a result of deep-seated psychological needs for validation and self-worth and status. And then you compound and exacerbate that through external societal pressures and the lure of instant gratification. Whew, I get it. It's really hard. Achieving lasting wealth is going to require a lot more. It's going to require more. You think about what the inflection point is. Where is it? When I wake up and I say, oh, you know what? I see the error of my ways. I realize that what I'm doing is not going to get me what I want. It's unsustainable. Me just pretending. I'm faking it and have faked it for so long that I need to actually start doing the work or doing the things that it takes. Maybe that's some kind of an age-related inflection point around 40 or 50. Maybe that's me. Start to kind of realize things. But in young adulthood, it's oftentimes you're in your, 20s and your 30s, and you realize that the things that I thought that I was going to like and the things that I thought that would be of value to me and that were really going to be drivers and important parts of my life just aren't. And hopefully, God willing, by the time that you are in your 60s and beyond, you can evaluate and start looking in the rearview mirror saying, okay, the things that I thought, the plans that I made, the things that I executed on how I applied my most valuable resources, it got me what I want or it didn't. Maybe there's even life events. That for sure is true. You get married, you have a baby. There's these different life events, or maybe from a negative standpoint, you get some kind of a bad news from a health perspective. You get a heart di you get some kind of a diagnosis. I got cancer. Holy cow, I've got a problem with my heart. I don't know. Or you have a relationship that breaks down. So many different things that can catalyze. So many different things. Medical event, you all of a sudden have a bunch of debt. Who knows? Or maybe you just start thinking about what really matters. And you start thinking about these are, in fact, my higher level desires, my higher level wants, recognizing that we all have these surface level wants and needs that must be met. But what's that next level? The evolution of consciousness, the evolution of purpose, searching for meaning. We are meaning-seeking creatures. And hopefully, I've given you something to chew on, something to think about, not just howling at the moon or screaming into the void or pissing into the wind as it would be. Because I don't want to do that. I really want to advocate and encourage people to strive and search for and to pursue internal motivation and internal satisfaction and internal fulfillment, driving at contentment. I want to be content. I want to be happy, certainly, but I want to be content. And that requires a shift. It requires a shift in our thinking. It requires a shift in our behaviors, so many different ways. So I think that when we are doing something, what is it that kind of takes us to do that? And well, you never have to do these things, right? You never have to come to these realizations. You never have to have an awakening. You never have to have an event. You could just keep doing what you're doing forever. You could never learn. And then you could enjoy the massive regret that you'll have on your deathbed when you finally do realize that it's the end of the line. The curtain is closing. And then you're forced to reflect and to look back. So I think that all of that is framed, and we need to be thinking about it in the context of embracing and of recognizing that a sacrifice, an investment is required to get what it is that we want. And when we engage in behaviors of sacrifice and investment, there will be discomfort. And we need to embrace that. We need to lean into that fully. And what we're doing with that when we are experiencing and embracing discomfort is we're practicing gratitude. Because you can't have one without the other. You can't have pleasure without pain, and vice versa. Day, night, these dichotomies. And when we are experiencing discomfort, it helps us appreciate comfort. But if all we're doing is appreciating and just experiencing comfort, we're not appreciating it. If all we're doing is seeking comfort, then we're never going to seek out discomfort. Therefore, we'll never really enjoy the comfort that we have. We won't be grateful for it. And we all know we're supposed to practice gratitude. We're supposed to be grateful. And that's fine. If you can do that, if you can sit down and write down the three things you're grateful for every day, then that's awesome. Then do that. For you, if you can't do that, if you've tried to do that, it hasn't worked, embrace discomfort. I believe that embracing discomfort can deepen your sense of gratitude. It'll help you appreciate what it is that you have. It'll help you acknowledge simple pleasures. It will help you recognize that hardship is fleeting and temporary. It'll help you be happy with the fact that you have a healthy body that works. And it'll help you appreciate the process. When you commit to eating well and exercising, you will lose weight, you will develop muscle, you will go through a process that will be of great value to you. When you make the decision to stop living paycheck to paycheck and to get out of debt, the sacrifices that you will make, the hard work and the discomfort that you will endure in order to do that will give you so many wonderful things. Teach you self-confidence, and it will be earned. It will give you self-esteem, which is earned. It will give you grittiness, tenacity. These are muscles and skills that can be developed. So discomfort is not a burden. It's an opportunity for self-improvement. It's an opportunity to be grateful for the lessons. It's an opportunity for you to appreciate everything that you are going through along the way. And then when you come out on the other side, you will come out a far better person. And all of that demands you stop caring what other people think of you. Stop caring what other people think of you. It's none of your business. What is your business is understanding what is the most important thing, understanding what is necessary and required in order to get the most important thing, and then to do it and to embrace the discomfort that inevitably and inherently will come along with doing something that is of value. What you're doing, I don't know what you're doing, but if you are currently just awash in comfort and oblivious to the toll that it's taking on you, ate free, just wallowing in comfort has a massive price tag. Giant. It's your potential. It's foregoing compound interest. It is the time value of money. It's all of these things. We have to do hard things. You have to do things that matter. You have to do fewer easy things. Stop focusing on things that don't matter. Stop worrying about what people think of you, or more so, what you think other people are thinking of you. And just go inside. Focus on what you have control over. Focus on the things that really matter. Because at the end of the day, there's never going to be anybody more interested in your financial success than you are. So act accordingly.